offer to you and present to you this morning. Amen. Last week, obviously a little different. We had our barbecue after church. And by the way, we had so many people help. It was not that we actually keep a book, but it was, I know, beat the record of cleanup and everything ready to go. I told Pam, I said, I think we could have, like, if we'd have went out to eat somewhere, we would have been getting home later. I mean, it was just, and it was because so many people helped. So thank you for all those who, you know, produced, brought food and helped set up and clean up and all that stuff. It was a great celebration. And so, amen. But last week, I felt impressed to share with you a chapter in progress from the book that I'm working on. And so I want to get back to, you know, what the Lord's been saying to us of late on Sunday morning when we're together. We looked into the life of Abraham, and we see that God blessed Abraham so he could be a blessing to others. He blessed Abraham so that Abraham could be a blessing to others. Not that God minded Abraham being blessed personally, but it wasn't just about Abraham being personally blessed, but God increased him and empowered him to succeed so that he could then be used to bless other people and increase other people and empower them to succeed as well. And we've done this in the past. I'm not going to take the time to do it, but this word bless, it's introduced to us in Genesis when God created Adam, and we see that the Bible says that God blessed him. And it means that God empowered Adam. It empowered him. So when we talk about being blessed, we're talking about a supernatural empowerment from heaven that enables a man or a woman to prosper or enables us to even, we could say, overcome. So the scriptures, again, reveal that God has blessed you and me with the blessing of Abraham, and also with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, so that we can then do what? Be a blessing to others. And the same pattern holds true for you and me. It's not that God minds you being blessed personally. As a matter of fact, God desires for you to be blessed personally, just like any parent in the room desires for your children to be blessed and to prosper, to be in health and prosper. And so we see that God desires above all else that you be in health and prosper, even as your soul prospers. So we see then a very important connection to the born-again believer experiencing health and prosperity outwardly to inward health and prosperity. In other words, notice again, it's from 3 John where the scriptures say, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." So there's a connection between inward prosperity and us experiencing blessing and prosperity outwardly. So this then goes to attitude. It goes to mindset and realizing that God has blessed us. Literally, it says this in Galatians, that Jesus lifted the curse off of us so that we could have the blessing of Abraham operative in our lives. And that we have been, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, we have been, past tense, blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we've been blessed. We're not waiting to be blessed. And I understand about believing, but it's incorrect to be believing God to bless you when he says he already has. So we're not believing to be blessed because we already have been blessed. And it's very important for us to acknowledge it. So a simple, simple statement, I have been blessed to be a blessing to others. I have been blessed by God to be a blessing to others. Now, why is this so important? It's because blessing others, helping other people succeed, helping other people prosper, is the key to experiencing in our life realities the blessings that we've already been given. And so, again, if you're new to this particular study, We see that God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He has blessed us with the same blessing, the same empowerment to prosper and succeed in life that was upon Abraham. But all of these things reside within our born-again spirit. They are inward realities of the new birth. Amen. Now, we also have explained that Jesus said these things would be in us like a fountain springing up. But in order for these blessings, we could call them that, these inward realities to become outward expressions of life, they must pass through our soul into our outward man. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. Amen. I'm going to say it again. You are a spirit. That's where you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's where you have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay. But your spirit is the deepest, innermost part of you. The Bible, Jesus called it your innermost being. You have an inward being, and then you have an innermost being, and then you have an outward being. Your outward being is your physical body. Your inward being is your heart, which is your soul and your spirit. Amen? And your innermost being is your spirit. And Jesus said, from your innermost being would flow rivers. From your innermost being, it would be like a fountain of life springing up from deep inside of you, flowing out of you. Amen. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Amen. You've got a river of life flowing out of you. Praise God. But your soul is the valve. Just like the faucet in the restroom. If you want water to wash your hands, you've got to open the valve. You've got to turn the valve to the open position, and the water behind it is under pressure. And when you open that valve, it comes flowing out. If you close the valve, it shuts it off. So all the goodness of God inside of you, all the blessings of God inside of you, are you following me? All of these inward realities of the new birth, righteousness, freedom, prosperity, blessing, wisdom, the list is endless. Amen. All these things inside of you, but in order for them to flow from you, out of you, amen, you've got to open the valve. Now, as simple as I know how to express this, and there's, again, I'm just trying to say this different ways so that you can connect with it. But if you turn inward, you close the valve. But if you turn outward, you open it. So turning inward would be focusing on yourself. Turning inward would be, you know, selfishness. Turning inward would be doing, you know, what you want, regardless of what God wants or what other people need. Where you put yourself first. Are you following me? See, a lot of people who, you know, come to, you know, very difficult places in their lives. And even many who have come to me for help, and they say, look, Pastor Mark, I understand, but, you know, I just got to work on me. I got to be focused on me, you know. Well, I mean, I understand, listen to me, please, I don't agree with it, but I understand why people think that and say that. But see, me is the problem. He is the answer. Right? Amen. And so we got to turn away from me and turn to him. And notice now, the more we focus, because the Bible says if you set your mind on the things of the flesh, you're going to follow after the flesh, amen, and you're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. So even if you're focusing on your flesh for the purpose of fixing something that's out of order in your flesh, that's how the devil tricks people, right? So the answer is to turn away from the flesh and turn and set your mind on the things of the Spirit. So now you open the valve. You open the valve. Are you following me? The devil is the one who wants to manipulate you into isolation. The enemy is the one who wants to manipulate you into avoiding other people. And you know, some people say, well, you know, I'm just not a social person. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Oh, you don't know me, Pastor Mark. I do know you. I do know you. If you're a born again man, I know you because I know my Heavenly Father. God is others minded. God is others minded. What does that mean? He's not just focused on himself. He's focused on others. Jesus, we looked at this last week in the chapter that I read. Jesus is focused on his Father and focused on the Holy Spirit. He's not focused on himself. The Holy Spirit isn't focused on himself. He's focused on Jesus and the Father. The Father isn't focused on himself. He's focused on Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And we were born of their seed. And we now have their nature. It's fear. Let's call it what it is. It's fear. Well, you know, it's just not my personality. Your personality might be your problem. We got to get beyond that. Well, you know, that's not just me. It is you. The devil's lied to you and told you that it's not you, and you believed his lie. He's a liar. He's a liar, and he's trying to shut your valve. He's trying to keep you from ever experiencing all that God's put in you for that to flow through you and out of you. The Bible says we should not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And people read that passage. That's Romans chapter 12, I think it's verse 3 or 4. But he says, you know, people read that verse and they think that means we should have a poor self-image. He says think highly of yourself, but to not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. And then he goes on to explain what it looks like for someone to think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. And someone who thinks more highly of themselves than they ought to think is someone who thinks they don't need other people. We were created for God and we were created for other people. We are members of the same body. Are you hearing me? For my thumb to tell my knee that it doesn't need it is ridiculous. Or for my thumb to think it doesn't need the four other fingers on my right hand? My thumb's thinking more highly of itself than it ought to think. Is my thumb important? It's extremely important. Thumb on my right hand, I'm right hand dominant. Thumb's most important of the five fingers, right? But the minute my thumb starts thinking it doesn't need me, it doesn't need the other four fingers or my hand. Do you see how silly that is? We were designed for social interaction. We were designed to work together for cooperation, fellowship with one another and fellowship with God. So when we turn inward, this closes the valve. It shuts off the valve. It prevents all that's in us from flowing from us and through us and out of us, both blessing ourselves and other people around us. So it's turning outward is what opens it. When all of a sudden we get our eyes off of ourselves and start trying to figure out what somebody else might need some help with, what we can do to be a blessing for somebody else. Are you following me? This is how we open that valve. Do you see why the enemy tries so hard to get us focused on ourselves and to live our lives me first? The Bible says that you should not just look after your own interests, but you should look after the interests of others, that you should prefer other people ahead of yourself. Seek first the kingdom and everything else be added to you. But if you try to go after all those things and find them for yourself, you're not ever going to be satisfied because you can miss out on, again, the plan that God has for you. Now, we see this in Proverbs 11 and 25. It says, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. This same passage from the Passion Translation. Those who live to bless others will have blessings heaped upon them. And the one who pours out his life to pour out blessing will be saturated with favor. A man who had a lot of impact on my life, he's with Jesus now, his name's Michael Dye. Michael Dye wrote a curriculum that we use at the Foundry. It's called the Genesis Process. And the Foundry sent me, I don't know, it's probably been 15 years ago now, maybe longer. They sent me to Seattle to train with Michael Dye for a week. And I have lots of Michael Dye quotes, but this might be one of my favorites. It's in my book, Becoming a Threat to Addiction. He said this, programs don't change people. If programs changed people, we would have developed one by now that takes a broken person in the back door and sends a whole person out the front. People's lives are changed when one person is willing to invest their life into another. That's where change happens. Change takes place within the context of fellowship. Are you hearing me? Change takes place within the context of fellowship. When we fellowship with one another and when we fellowship with God. I got a dear brother, and he's on staff now at the Foundry. When he came through the Foundry, He makes this statement over and over again. He says, community saved my life. Community saved my life. What is he talking about? He was talking about finding godly people to connect with, to be held accountable by. Are you following what I'm saying? He said that was the fundamental thing that God used more than anything else to take him out of darkness and misery into a life of fulfilling his purpose and destiny in Father's kingdom. And we all need, we were created by an eternal community for an eternal community. We all need community. I've said this and I'll say it again. The devil wasn't just targeting human life with COVID. The church was his number one target with COVID. The devil was trying to stop the church, disrupting the church. And there are people who, I'm not just talking about Heritage, I'm talking about the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are people who left church during COVID who still haven't returned. Amen. All right. So, trying to get blessed, that mindset acknowledges, among other things, that we don't believe we already are. Waiting until you are blessed before expressing love by giving and serving acknowledges again that you don't believe you are blessed. Being afraid to give or being afraid to serve so others can be blessed also acknowledges that you do not believe you are blessed. We are not a group of cursed people waiting for God to bless us. We are a blessed people who have now become a threat to the curse that is in the world. And because Satan manipulates that curse against the population of this world, against those whom God has loved, and you are a threat to that curse because you've been blessed by God, Satan is doing everything he can to prevent the blessing that you have become and is within you from flowing through you and out of you into the world around you. None of us in this room have any idea the capacity we have to make a difference in the lives of other people. And listen to me, sometimes it doesn't take very much. Sometimes just noticing somebody, in some situations, just having a smile and a kind word for somebody that you work with or that you pass on the street. I don't want to go down that road, but let me just, some of the things that, I had somebody yesterday in tears, somebody I haven't seen in over 20 years, in tears. He was telling me about something that I said to him when we were in high school. He had to remind me of the context of the conversation before I even remembered what I said. And he's sitting across me in a restaurant with tears streaming down his face. And he said, that changed my life. I'm like, Shazam, who'd have thunk it? Are you sure I'm saying? Amen. So the capacity that you have inside of you, it is such a threat to the powers of darkness. Satan lords over the curse to keep people locked in misery. You have the antidote. You have the blessing that overwhelms and removes the curse. And so Satan is trying to keep that curse bottled up inside of you. He never wants you to learn how to open the valve so that the empowerment of God inside of you to not only make you more prosperous, but to help other people around you prosper and succeed. He's terrified of it. So how does he manipulate us? He tries to manipulate us by always keeping us focused on ourselves, which essentially keeps the valve closed. All right, we may not get much further than this morning. We're going to get this part nailed down. We're going to nail some things down this morning, okay? First of all, blessed is a state of being. It's a state of being. You either are or you're not. You either are or you're not. Are being blessed. what present tense, verb tense, present tense of the verb be. Okay. You either are or you're not. Okay. Now stay with me, because what so many of God's people think about when they think about blessing is they think about outward circumstances, outward conditions of life. That's not what we're talking about. The difference between someone who is blessed and someone who is not yet blessed is whether or not that person has been born again. If you have been born again, you have been blessed by God with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. You have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have been given not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, so that you might know all the things that have been freely given to you by God. We're talking about a state of being now. This is one of the ways the devil manipulates us. Is we think blessed is dependent upon what's going on around us. And if things are going well, oh, we're blessed. Oh, I'm so blessed, man. So blessed, right? Then things around us aren't going so well. Now all of a sudden, we don't even talk about being blessed, because we're waiting for the outward circumstances to change so that we can say or confess we're blessed again. That's not how this works. Blessed means you have been empowered by God to prosper and overcome. So we often talk and use this phrase, inward realities of the new birth becoming an outward expression of life. Who God made you becoming an outward lifestyle, an outward expression of what's already true about you inwardly. Okay? So blessed is an inward reality. Blessed is an inward reality. We tend to think of being blessed in terms of favorable outward circumstances instead of an inward reality and a state of being. Are you following me? Our faith or confidence in our being blessed rises and falls with the circumstances going on around us. And that is wrong. The devil is tricking you. He's deceiving you if you think like that. Are you following me? In other words, if you think, well, things are going well for me. Man, did you have a nice weekend? Oh, man, such a great weekend. We are so blessed, right? 3 days later, how's your week going? Oh, man, it's been terrible. I mean, it's just like, you know, this too shall pass. You know, so, you know, amen. Good days are coming. You know, so, okay, all right, so watch this now. See, again, we tend to think when things are going well that we're blessed. And when they're not going well, that we're not blessed. That is a wrong understanding of this. We tend to only associate being blessed with good news or when something good happens. Are you familiar with the concepts cause and effect, or to simplify it even further, root and fruit? Are you following me? So notice now, we sometimes view the effect of good things in our lives, right, as being blessed, confusing the fruit with the root. Are you following me? Sweet Jesus, going to help me here. Just stay with me. We're going to develop this, all right? I heard Brother Copeland say this, and it really, 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 I mean, sometimes just one word, it's like, I got it now, okay? This is what he said. He said, I'm not blessed because I'm healed. I'm healed because I'm blessed. Do you see the difference in that? Think about that for a moment. See, like, hey, man, I heard you hurt your knee. Are you okay? Yeah, man, I am healed. I am so blessed because I'm healed. No, see, that, be thankful. But notice now what the devil, very subtle there, very subtle. See, you were still blessed when your knee was hurting. Because you being blessed ain't got nothing to do with how your knee feels right now. You being healed doesn't have anything to do with how your knee feels right now. By his stripes you were healed. Pastor Mark, believe with me for a good report. I'll be happy to believe with you, but when are we going to believe you're healed? Are we going to wait until we get a good report to believe you're healed? Or are we going to believe you're healed right now, no matter what the report says this Friday? Do you see the difference there, right? The Bible says believe you've already received when you pray. Not believe you've received when you get the good report. Not believe you receive when things turn and all of a sudden it gets good again. You couldn't be any more blessed than you are right now, no matter what's going on in your life right now. I'm not blessed because I'm prosperous. I'm prosperous because I'm blessed. Do you see the difference? This is so important. Believing you are blessed has nothing to do with what's going on around you, good or bad. Blessed is an inward reality that can change outward circumstances, but is not determined by them. It's not determined by outward circumstances, but it can change the outward circumstances. Now, thank you, Jesus. All right, let's keep going here. I've heard a lot of people over the years, and I'm sure I've participated in this as well. We talk and even dream about what we would do for God and others if we had the resources to do it. What we would do for God and others if we won the lottery or if we somehow became wealthy overnight. Now, I believe this kind of thinking acknowledges our true nature to bless others, but it also acknowledges something else. It acknowledges that we don't believe we are blessed enough yet to do something for God or others. Are you seeing the dilemma here? Yes, no, maybe. Am I the only one? You hear somebody winning almost $1 billion in the lottery, and I'm sure you maybe think about the car you'd like to buy or the home you'd like to build, but somewhere down the road you start thinking about what you could do for the kingdom and how you could build this for somebody, or you could give this to somebody, or how, amen. Again, that's acknowledging, notice now, that's acknowledging your true nature is not just to enjoy all of that instant wealth on yourself, but this is what we're going to do for others and how we're going to help others and how we're going to help build Father's kingdom. But notice it's subtle. What we're telling ourselves is if we were blessed, this is what we would do. And maybe one day we will be blessed enough to do something. What's that revealing? It's revealing that we don't believe we're blessed yet, or we don't believe we're blessed enough yet to do it. Still with me? So here's the question. How blessed do you have to be before you are comfortable being a blessing to other people? Because you are blessed, you do have enough to bless others, but you will never tap into it, access, or lay hold of it until you step out in faith and do so. Amen. We have been given far more than we can see or have presently laid hold of. And that's what this is the game changer right here. This is the life changer right here, okay? It's when we begin to realize that we've been given more than we can point to on a bank statement. That we've been given more than we can go count in our sock drawer. That we've been given more than what we're currently driving or living in. Are you following me? That we've been given more, that we possess more. Are you following me? Than what we can currently point to. Remember the passage, matter of fact, let me give it to you. Philippians chapter 3 verse 12, Paul says, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. I am very thankful for whatever portion, for whatever degree, remember he goes on to use that word degree, for whatever portion, for whatever degree of all that God has given to you that you have currently laid hold of. Are you following me? In other words, he gives you all these things, but then we've got to lay hold of them by faith. What you've laid hold of is all the things that's true about you inwardly that you now possess outwardly. Are you following me? Yes? Come on now, I'm going fast, but are you getting this? It's no need for us going any further if you're not getting this. Amen? Are you following me? You've got way, way, way more. I mean, it's beyond comprehension how rich you are. See, again, notice, You've been blessed with the blessing of Abraham. The Bible says Abraham was very blessed. So blessed that he didn't know how many earthly goods he actually had. Okay? All right? Now, so with you and me, the blessing of Abraham is better than that. The blessing of Abraham is an inward blessing that doesn't just include earthly things, but it's an inward blessing that includes both earthly things and heavenly things. We've been blessed with the blessing of Abraham, and we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not will be blessed, have been blessed. Are you following me? I've said this periodically for years. I'm going to say it again. The last thing in the world I want to do is when we all get to heaven, you come find me one day on the streets of gold and say, Pastor Mark, I sat in that church for 50 years and you never told me I was blessed. I sat in that church for 50 years and this whole time I had been blessed with the blessing of Abraham. I'd been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. I'd been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And you never told me that. You never let me know that. Listen to me. Listen to me, please. I do not want you to get to heaven to find out what kind of life you could have lived on this side because you never tried. You kept yourself focused on yourself. You kept the valve closed and barely, if ever, let a few trickles and a few drips come forth and think that was the full measure of what God has for you and what he's done for you and what he's given to you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's personalize it. I have been given far more than I can see or have presently laid hold of. This is what we do. We look at how much we have on hand and we base what we think we can afford to give. Now, if you think I'm fixing to receive another offering, you don't know me. I'm not trying to get your money from you. I'm trying to get you flowing in the blessing of God in your life. We have been given far more than we can see or what we have presently laid hold of. Financial prosperity. People, he's one of them prosperity preachers. Would you rather me preach poverty to you? Would you? I mean, what? I don't understand people. I really don't understand folks. Amen. Not a person listening to me right now that doesn't want enough provision in their life so that they no longer have to think about provision. Because that's the nature of God in you. God is not worried about paying the light bill in heaven. Are you following me? And he wants his children to experience that same level of fruitfulness and prosperity. Amen. Amen. Are you one of them prosperity preachers? Unashamedly, I'm a blessing. Yes. Jesus was rich. Don't you dare believe he was just a pauper. He was rich. He owned houses. He was given a lifetime of wealth at his birth. The Bible says he was rich, but he became poor so that those of us who were poor could become rich. I'm quoting the Bible to you now.
Well, you know, we just shouldn't talk about money and politics in church. Well, then where should we talk about them? Acting like these things don't affect our lives. Jesus talked about them. Jesus talked about politics. Paul talked about them. Not gossiping and complaining and griping, but they talked about them. Gave us warnings about it. Warnings about putting our trust in the government. Instructions to pray for those who have the rule over you because decisions they make impact and influence us. Are you following me? And you want to get quiet in a church service, just mention money. Everybody's quiet as a mouse. Are you following me? So we look at what we have and we think this is all we can afford to do. Do you see the critical error there? I've been given far more than I can see. A large part of walking by faith and not by sight means believing you have more than you can see or currently hold in your hands or bank account. The tendency is to base our generosity on what we hold in our hands rather than on what the Word says we have been given. This creates a problem because generosity and giving are how we tap into what we have been given but have not yet laid hold of. Are you following me? So we look at what we have on hand and we think, well, this is all I can afford to give. Okay? Well, as long as we give based on what we have in hand rather than what God says we have, seems like he said something like this in Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Now, if you hear me telling you to do something foolishly, I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you to do something by faith. When's the last time you've asked God about what he would have you do with what you've currently laid hold of, what you currently have in your hand? Are you following me? Are you following me? We tend to find a comfort zone. Listen to me now. Please know my heart. I'm trying to help you. My vow to this congregation, this family of faith, from the very beginning, is that if I ever talk about money, it'll be for your benefit and not mine, or even necessarily, you know, church is doing fine financially. I'm not trying to get you to, well, you know, if y'all don't pay the load, we're gonna give some more money. But no, church, everything we got's paid for. Money's coming in from rental properties. Attendance might be down, but people give online more than we're fine financially. This ain't about getting more money for the church. Are you hearing me? Please hear me. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. But, you know, like, where's your limit? You know, where's your choking point? Are you really? I mean, think about it, right? Some folks have no problem giving God a few dollars. Some folks have no problem giving God $50, $100, whatever, you know. Or give, for that matter, let's even, or giving to somebody else directly. Are you following what I'm saying? You see somebody in need, you know, it's like, I'll give them a 5 spot, you know. Okay, that's good. But see, most important thing you could do is, Father, what would you have me do for this person in need right now? He might tell you, don't give them any money at all, but ask them if you can help them get in the foundry. Are you following what I'm saying? It's not, so many times we have to be careful on this too. We just give because we feel guilty if we don't. That's a bad motive to give. Are you hearing me? You know, it's like, I'm fixing to go in there and eat a pizza, and this guy ain't got no money, so I'm going to give him $5 so I can go enjoy my pizza. No, that is bogus. Amen. That's bogus. All right? But notice now, we all have different incomes and at different seasons in life, and some are in their retirement years, and again, this isn't, Jesus taught us, it's not about who gives the most. It's about the woman who gave the widow who gave just the smallest offering, and Jesus said she gave more than them all. Right? And there were folks who were like sounding trumpets and bringing in offerings on, you know, poles between two shoulders. But if what I'm telling you is true, and it's true because it's from the scriptures, generosity and giving is one of the key ways we prime the pump and open the valve so that all that we've been given and all that we have been blessed with can flow through us. Okay? Are you following me? All right? So, if we continue with giving and generosity based upon what we hold in our hand, how we ever tap into what we have but haven't yet laid hold of. Is this making sense to you? I wrote this, I typed this, I dictated this, and now I'm kind of wandering off and stammering and stumbling, and I'm not trying to offend you, and I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm just, would you please, thank you, Holy Spirit, would you just please talk to the Lord about it, what he would have you do to help somebody else? Watch this now. The more we sow, the more we reap. If you give sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you give bountifully, you reap bountifully. Let me
Change the words that were saying the same things. If you give sparingly, you barely open the valve. If you give bountifully, you turn the valve open even more. There's a proportion there. We saw that in Luke 6:38. The measure you give is the same proportion that it'll be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Are you seeing this? You're getting really, really quiet on me. It's okay. Are you seeing this? But where the devil traps us because we don't understand or believe and trust that God has blessed us and that we have far more, we've been given far more than we can show on a bank statement. Are you following me? Than we actually hold in our hand. We tend to give based upon what we have in our hand, based upon what God says is ours. And if we'll learn to begin to shift over from this is what I can afford to give based upon what I have, giving may not necessarily mean writing a check. Y'all okay? All right, okay. We tend to do the same with our serving as with our giving. We avoid stepping out because we don't think we're qualified. We don't think we have the time. Or we don't think we have the ability. See? Are you following me? Well, you know, I'd love to help out down there, but I don't know how to do any of that. I'd love this. And sometimes that's just a lie we tell ourselves, but other times it is a lie, whether you're telling yourself that or the devil's telling you that. There is so much inside of us. But how do we tap into that? We tap into that by stepping out. Are you following me? By acting on it. Stepping out in love by faith. I remember the gentleman that I tried to help who was struggling with addiction. Oh my goodness, help me, Lord. But the Lord knew my heart. He knew I was trying to help, even though my efforts were pretty much like the codependency and enablement that he was receiving from other folks. I was still trying to help him. But now 30 plus years later, and I don't say this arrogantly, I'm telling this confidently because of what the Lord, I can look someone who struggled with addiction for 50 years, I can look them straight in the eye and say, if you'll let me help you, I know how to help you with that. I know how with the Lord's help that you can fix that and put it behind you forever and it'll never be an issue in your life again. I can say that not arrogantly, very confidently and very boldly. If you'd asked me when I was in high school, Mark, will you be, when you're 58 years old, will you be ministering to people struggling with addiction or will you be a missionary in India? I would have told you a missionary in India. Are you hearing me? I never saw that part that the Lord had for me, okay? But again, he brings a young man into my life that needs help. Everybody else in the church I was at that time had already helped him for years and they were tired of him. Matter of fact, they didn't even want to see him coming. I'm not judging them people for that. I was the new guy though. You understand what I'm saying? I was young. Pam and I just got married. It's my first ministry position. I was a youth pastor at a church, you know. Man, I was raring to go. Bring it on. His daddy came up to me after church on a Sunday night, tears in his eyes. Pray for my son. He's coming home. I thought, it kind of seemed strange to me at the moment, Jeff, but I'm thinking, Why's his mama got that look on her face, right? You know what I'm saying? His mama wasn't happy about him coming home. Are you following me? Right? And again, I'm not judging them folks, but they had dealt with him and all that for, he chewed them up, spit them out more times than once, right? And I was the next one to go through the grinder, I'm telling you. Amen. Marty, let me show you how dumb I was about it. I let him borrow my car. He rolled up in church on a Wednesday night and the door was caved in. I thought somebody backed into it. He got out, slammed the door on the car and acted like it wasn't anything. I thought, well, does he not even see that big old dent? Surely he sees that dent. I said, what happened to my car? He says, oh, I got mad at it. She got, what? Eric, he donkey kicked my car. He stood like this and kicked. It was first car. Pam and I'd say, I mean, my mom, when I was in college, mom and daddy kept me in a nice car, but it was the first one. Me and Pam got married. We bought his little Toyota Corolla hatchback, white. Had nice little mag rims on it. You know, I thought it was, you know what I'm saying? He
He stomped a dent in it this big in the door. I'm like, man, will the window even work? I mean, the window broke. I mean, it's like, you know. But I stepped out. Are you following me? Amen. I know it's time. I know it's time, and we're still doing communion. I'm too close to not finish this. Can I just finish at least this section? All right. Thank you for a few more minutes, okay? I struggled for many years, and I'll use this as an example. It's something called imposter syndrome. Have you ever heard that, imposter syndrome? It's something the enemy uses. He tells people, you know, who do you think you are trying to help somebody else? You need help. Who do you think you are trying to? You're not a teacher. You're not a this. You're not a that. You know, you're just pretending you're this. All right. So it may sound silly to most of you, but reading a chapter from my latest book last week was a big deal for me. And I don't know, I compare it to the lady who only sang for her mother taking the stage at America's Got Talent. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, you know, again, but you got to put yourself out there. And Lord said something to me that really helped get me over the hump. And I still have to guard my mind on this. But the Lord told me something. He said, I made you an author. He said, you could have lived your whole life without writing a book and you would have lived and died an author. Writing a book is not what made me an author. Doing is not about becoming or making yourself something that you're not. It's about discovering who God made you and what He has given to you. I'm not an author because I've written a book. I've written a book because I am an author. I'm not a teacher because I teach. God made me a teacher. I could have built cabinets the rest of my life and lived my whole life and died a pastor and never pastored. When the Lord first spoke to Matt about playing the trumpet for him and singing, He said, I want you to play your trumpet for me and I want you to sing. Matt said, I will gladly play the trumpet for you, Lord, but I'm not a singer. Sounds like the Lord knew more than Matt. So what did he do? He started trying to sing when he played his trumpet. And guess what he discovered? That God had made him a singer. Amen. He's not a singer because he sings. If he'd have told the Lord no and just played his trumpet and let everybody else sing, he'd have lived his whole life a trumpet player and a singer that never sung. Are you seeing this? He said, Pastor Mark, did we change subjects? No, we didn't change subjects, because the same thing that's true about being an author, being a teacher, being a singer, being a trumpet player, or whatever else, it's the same about being blessed. I don't want you to live your whole life blessed beyond measure and never experience it and nobody else enjoy it. But at some point you've got to step out there. If you can't do nothing but tip $2 instead of $1. Some of the servers say amen. Anybody here ever serve tables? Again, start somewhere. Well, you know, I'm comfortable with a $2 tip, but man, $5? Don't they get paid from the restaurant? You got enough money in you to buy that restaurant. Amen. Matt, Vanessa, Daniel, y'all come. Men who are serving communion, if y'all would come. Amen. Amen. My brother Donald's always encouraging me. He's kind of jabbing me a little bit last week about ending the sermon early because of lunch. So I just banked that 20 minutes, brother, and just withdrew it. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. The brothers are going to serve you this morning. If you're a guest, as long as you're a member of the body of Christ, you are more than welcome to participate in communion with us. We're members of one another. If you're served first, if you would hold your emblems until everyone is served, and then we'll partake together, and they're going to lead us in worship. Amen. As we're being